Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WAMC's live daily afternoon call-in talk show. It's 2:08 and 24 seconds. I'm Alan Chartok. Republican presidential candidate Mitt Romney has again found himself the focus of negative publicity following the posting of video of the candidate by the progressive news outlet Mother Jones, during which he told supporters that he will never convince 47% of Americans who he said will support the president no matter what, because they believe they are, quote, victims in entitled to be cared for by the government. Commentators from left and right are writing this morning that the latest and serious gaffe could spell the end of Romney's White House aspirations, and the Obama campaign has a new web video out today with negative reactions to Romney's statements from folks stopped on the street. Today, we want your reaction to Romney's comments and to what people are saying about these comments today. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551, or as Rockin' Robin once said, tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMC Radio. So I need your help. I want everybody on the phone. I want to know what you're thinking about this entire thing. Let me just proceed a little bit and tell you that here's one of the statements. Quote, by Romney, there are 47% of the people who will vote for the president no matter what, Romney says in one clip first posted on Monday afternoon. There are 47% who are with him, who are dependent on government, who believe that they are the victims, who believe that government has the responsibility to care for them, who believe that they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing. And it's been a tough time. Of course, he's been getting it from all sides. William Kristol of the Daily Standard website said that Romney's comments insulted some of his own supporters, such as seniors on Medicare. Here's some of the things he said. At a fundraiser, you have people say, Governor, how are you going to win this? So I respond, well, the president has his group. I have my group. I want to keep my team strong and motivated. And I want to get those people in the middle. That's something which fundraising people who are parting with their money are very interested in, Romney said. And by the way, I'm going to read that to you a second time because it's an extraordinary statement and it's correct. Governor, how are you going to win this? And so I respond, well, the president has his group. I have my group. I want to keep my team strong and motivated, and I want to get those people in the middle. And that is what he tried to do. He tried to go for those people who aspire to be wealthy and say, your interests are with us. They are not with those who are, quote, below you. And so we go to Nick in Hudson, New York. Okay, Nick, you're on the air.
How are you doing, Alan?
I'm good, Nick. How are you?
Good. I know this is kind of a left turn, but it's still regarding something that I believe Governor Romney said recently, and that was pertaining to why he was asked why he didn't go to Vietnam. And the crux of a rather lengthy answer was that he had other plans to do God's work, and that he thought in the end, he agreed with his father, he was too important to go to Vietnam. And I'm wondering if anyone else has heard that quote or read about it anywhere. I saw it posted on the internet yesterday, and I am just looking to see if other people have been made aware of it.
Well, to be fair, I always try to play the devil's advocate, Nick. The other side of that is that maybe he felt that. A lot of people didn't go in because of religious reasons, and a lot of people were doing other things.
But he actually said that it was because he was too important to go to Vietnam.
Well, his father probably told him in terms of God's service he was too important.
Yeah, okay, but is that who we want president? Somebody who thinks they're too important?
You have to answer that question. Thanks, Nick. Appreciate it very much.
Okay, Alan.
Thanks
again.
Bye-bye. Yeah, bye. Let's go to Penny in the car. Penny, I hope you're on hands-free.
Yeah, well, I pulled over.
Oh, okay. That's fair. That's hands-free. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my comment is, first and foremost, Romney is almost as scary as Sarah Palin was. And what an outrageous, elitist comment for a presidential candidate to make is beyond belief. And as a baby boomer with an elderly parent, dependent upon Medicare now and Medicaid to help cover her nursing home costs. I hope I can get her to the polls and vote against him. And I think all the seniors and other people, through no fault of their own, who do rely on some of the programs, should be outraged.
But, Penny, you know why he's doing it, right? He told you the truth. He says, I want to keep my team strong and motivated. I want to get those people in the middle. And that's who he was aiming for. In fact, this morning when I first read it, I said, you know, this may have gone wrong, but my bet is that somebody may have leaked it from his side, because this gets to, you know, I had a relative once, I'm not going to name him, but he was a despicable bigot. And he lived out on Long Island, and he would call names, and he would use names for everybody and the rest of this kind of stuff. That's the guy they were trying to get to. I'm telling you that. Penny, I hear you, and I sympathize with you, and good luck to your mom.
All right, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Yeah.
All right, bye.
Okay, let's go to Jim in Kingston. Jim in Kingston, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Aren't these a lot of things that were really in the Republican platform that no one really paid attention to?
Nobody ever pays attention to the platform, but you're right. So, and this, these and worse go into the platform. And it's one of the ways that they buy off the radical right, you know, in these conventions and the rest. But people who run for president, you know, they're supposed to be smart enough to know how to get elected. Now, do you think this was a smart move or a dumb move?
Very dumb.
Are you sure?
Very dumb.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because if you stop and look at who those 47% are, they're disabled veterans, they're retirees, and they're the working poor.
Well, I think, but this is about, Jim, this isn't about what's right or wrong. This is about winning elections.
Oh, yeah. But still, I mean, if you're a retiree and you're being told you're a bum because you don't pay taxes.
Were you going to vote for him anyway?
I don't, unless they're racist, I can't see it.
So in other words, you're telling me that these people who you've just named, I want to get this straight with you. We're going to vote for Obama anyway, weren't they? I mean, why does he care? He said, these are the 47% I'm not going to get.
Because they are his base. I mean, if you look, it was kind of funny, all the graphics they've been putting up today on the news, showing which states have the highest amount of people that don't pay taxes. And they're predominantly the red states in the South.
To say nothing of certain corporations around here, if you know what I mean, who don't pay
a
penny.
We didn't get that far yet.
Hey, Jim, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
Here, Alan.
Yeah. Let's go 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Lana in Albany. Okay, Lana, you're on.
Hello?
Hello, Lana, you're on.
Yes. Well, here is my take on this whole thing. When the candidates are talking about middle class, in my book, middle class are the people who have to work for a living. Even if you're a doctor, even if you're a lawyer, those people all think that they're really wealthy and great. Well, if they lose their job, their family is going to be very badly affected. And I know it for a fact because I know people who are in this position. What is happening is that people have to understand, Romney lives in a totally different universe. He doesn't care if he ever has a job, and he doesn't need a job, and if he never does anything ever in his life, he wouldn't even notice. That's what people have to understand. He would never understand regular people's issues, and he would never relate to them. He lives in his own little universe, and that's why he makes statements like that.
I don't think that's why, Lana. I don't think it's why he makes statements like that. You know, I'm not a fan, but I think he makes statements like that because his team, the people who are pushing the pawns around, believe that that is the way to get the middle class voter to come with him and say those lazy, shiftless people at the bottom. But he went a little too far this time. But that's what he was trying to do.
He doesn't understand that those people, like the previous caller, they have parents which depend on help from the government. There is nothing shameful in being older and needing some help. It's just the nature of things. We're all going to be older someday.
Yeah, I'm there already. Hey, Lana, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye.
Okay, bye. 1-800-348-2551. Zachary the engineer is going to take us away for just a minute. But if your name is Jim or Bonnie, you stay right where you are.
Support for WAMC comes from the Unitarian Universalist Congregations of the Capital Region, using many sources of wisdom in their Sunday services, including the words of Emerson and Thoreau, Native Americans, and the Bible. CapitalRegionUU.org. The Olana Partnership, presenting Olana Fest 2012, featuring art-inspired hors d'oeuvres, craft beers, local wines, and a silent auction. Sunday, October 7th, 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m., olana.org. Springfield Symphony Orchestra, opening night September 29th, featuring Brahms Symphony No. 1 and Peter Serkin performing Bartok's Piano Concerto, springfieldsymphony.org. And Lucky Chocolates, Saugerties, New York, offering organic and fair trade truffles, espresso bar, hot chocolate, pastries, and a daily soup, luckychocolates.com.
And we are back, and thank you, Zachary, for your exemplary work, as always, getting us back. Again, we're talking about Mitt Romney. We are talking about the statement today. There are 47% of the people who vote for the president, no matter what Romney said in one of the first clip. There are 47% who are with him, who are dependent on government, who believe that they are the victims, who believe that government has the responsibility to care for them, who believe they are entitled to health care, to food, to housing. Everybody on a phone, we're doing good. Let's go to Jim in Malta. Jim, you're on.
Good afternoon.
Hey.
I'd like to follow up on what the prior caller mentioned about Romney and his time, or lack of time, in the military.
Right.
I was recently read an article from Slate Magazine, which reproduced part of an article, a research done by the Associated Press this past June. And Romney had not one, not two, but not three, but four deferments for military service during Vietnam, even though he was an avid supporter of the war. And in addition, Romney repeatedly told different stories as to why he didn't serve in Vietnam. They caught him lying like four times. But as to his statement, calling this 47% basically parasites, we couldn't have a volunteer military if it wasn't for the children of these low-income families. So he's also managing to insult his own supporters.
That's a very interesting point. Hey, Jim, thanks for the call. Appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. Yep.
Let's go to Bonnie.
Peter.
Is that Bonnie?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Okay, so what really kind of blindsided me, besides the number of people that in this country that are earning so little they don't qualify for federal tax, is the aspect that the percentage of people, from what I heard this morning, the percentage of people in the 47% who self-identify as Republicans is like 39% of that 47%. Which means that every one of them who, if they do vote for Romney, are voting against their own self-interest. But what really gets me is the kind of smug, puritanical sort of self-assignment that the poor couldn't be very godly because they're poor. And obviously God rewards the godly on earth by granting them wealth. And somehow, therefore, the converse is true, and therefore the poor have inherited the wages of sin. There is something in that value system that's coming out in his rant.
Let me ask you a question, Bonnie.
Sure.
Forget about the very good things you have just said.
Sure.
But let's just say you are a middle-aged man in the
you got half of it right.
you're white.
Yeah.
You are in that independent group, and you make $53,000 a year.
So you're paying some tax.
What'd you say?
So if you're making 53, you're paying some.
Yeah, you are paying tax. No question.
Yeah.
Or maybe 60,000. So let me ask you this question.
Right.
Is there something insidious in this Romney statement that makes you shake your head and say, yeah, you know, my kids don't get it. Those kids get it. You know, it is a blatant, in my mind, appeal. Yeah. It's a blatant appeal to the sort of stuff that we have seen in this country. And by the way, Bill Clinton hung his hat on it also when he said we have to do welfare reform and the rest. Of course, there are a lot of people in this country who have no patience for it. Now, would you be willing to vote for him if you're an independent, you're making 60 grand a year, you're in your 50s, don't you think that's who he's appealing to? Because that's who's going to win this election.
I suspect that he's appealing to the baser nature that looks at the taxes and the bills
absolutely
at the end of the month.
Absolutely, Bunny.
Say,
but does it work?
I'm paying these taxes and those people across the street aren't because
exactly.
they're on welfare.
Exactly, and they're on disability and they're out there with a ladder and they're, you know.
So that basically says, I got mine, get your own.
Well, that's right. Well, assuming that that's right, I'm not endorsing it, of course.
No,
does he make out like a bandit? Does he? Because remember, forget about right or wrong. Everybody's calling up and saying it's a moral issue. Forget about that. These guys, they don't care. They don't care about that.
I guess he does, as long as everybody shaves in the dark and never looks themselves in the mirror in the morning.
Oh, it happens all the time. I often wonder about that mirror thing.
Yeah, me too.
Hey, Bonnie,
explains all the nicks on the faces.
Bonnie, thank you, dear. Thanks
okay.
for calling. Yeah, bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to Terry in Kingston. Terry?
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
This is a great topic, and I'm so happy to be able to voice my opinion.
Sure.
One quick thing that I thought of immediately when I heard this stuff coming out
yep.
was government of the people, by the people, and for the people. And it just offends me to hear somebody that wants to be the president of my country to more or less say, how dare the government do anything for the people? I mean, that's, you know, that was like one thought that I had.
No, but for 47% of the people is what he was saying. Not my percent, not the people who are going to vote for me. I'll do something for them.
Well, you know, and about who he's appealing to, yeah. I kind of think that, you know, I fall into two categories.
Yep.
I have always been a working single mother.
Yep.
I have a son now in college, of which I'm in the income bracket that I
yep.
pay for my son's college, and it's very difficult. I can see that because I was always working and earned a certain amount of money. I've always paid taxes. If I were a certain kind of people, maybe I would say, how dare these people not do anything? How dare they, you know, get all of this aid? But you know what? I'm smarter than that. I'm not going to fall for it.
Is there a little tiny part of you that has on occasion, you know?
Never. Because you know what? I've always felt that I have been a blessed person through whatever I've done, whatever someone above me has done, you know, and I would never. I'm the kind of person that's there, but for the grace of God, go I. And I mean, if Mitt Romney had been born into my circumstances instead of his own, I highly doubt that he would have done as well as I have done.
So, Terry, I got to let you go, but let me ask you a fast question. Are you a Democrat, basically, a Democratic voter?
I am a Democrat. As far as, but I am not the kind of Democrat that will vote strictly Democratic party lines. I have to believe in the candidate. I have to love the candidate, and I happen to vote Democrat most of the time.
So but, you're one of the 47% he's talking about. Who's the last Republican you voted for again?
I don't know that I've ever
My point,
and
point
you know what,
taken.
And it's not going to change this November
either. Point taken, Terry. Thank you, Terry.
Have a good afternoon.
Yeah,
bye-bye.
Okay, Terry, here's some of the results coming in. More on Facebook says, so does this mean under Mitt's tax plan I can apply for and receive tax refunds for the tens of thousands of dollars in taxes I have paid over the years? Amy on Facebook says, disgusting. I'm in total shock. I fluctuate from outrage to sadness. Is he really that out of touch with the makeup of the country? Has he no empathy? Where is this man's heart? How on earth can he relate to any of us? Charles on Facebook says, in a few short months, he's alienated women, non-whites, the poor, and the elderly. Who's left to vote for him at this point? If he wins the presidency, there's no doubt in my mind that elections can be bought. And Robert on Facebook says, and get this, folks, he's right on. Now, before we go ahead, and all the phones are ringing, all the phones are ringing now, I think, yes. But the question I have for you is, when you say, how can he win? He's alienated this, he's alienated that. Look at the polls! For God's sakes, look at the polls. They are running dead even with all of this garbage. They are running dead even. And my feeling is that, you know, I walked into services yesterday and some guy came up to me and said, Obama's got it in the bag. I say, look at the polls. If people think that they don't have to go out and vote as a result of this, let me tell you, nobody's got it in there. Let's go to Christine in Troy. Okay, Christine in Troy, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Thank you for taking my call. And I wanted to say that the comments that have come in have been dead on the show today.
Yep.
So I applaud you for bringing it up. The problem is, I don't think there's anything different that Romney said, except for the fact that he added a percentage. Because this has been his agenda. He's made these scathing remarks during his entire campaign. But this time he put a percentage and actually put a number to the amount of people he's talking about when he says they. When he refers to that they voter, that individual that's voting for Obama because he's black or voting for him because he stands for a certain amount of, you know, women's issues. The 47% actually says that me and, you know, half of the country are lazy, uneducated, un-God-fearing voters. The lazy vote. And I am not the lazy vote. The problem...
Christine, did you ever vote for a Republican?
I did. I voted for Pataki 2 terms.
Okay.
My 18th birthday was election day, you know, for Pataki, and I've always been a liberal. But, like Terry said, I don't vote on party line. I vote on the individual and their platform.
You know, Christine, everybody says that. Everybody says, I talked to 10,000 people. I vote the man or the woman. I never vote the party. And yet people do have political behavior. We've seen it again and again.
Absolutely.
And again. Yeah. Okay. So you might fall into that category of somebody who is seducible. Now, in your mind, have you ever thought for a single second, there are some lazy people who are getting my tax dollars?
There absolutely are. But 9 out of 10 times, it's that individual that we have in our mind, that lazy individual, they're not the ones voting, period. And unfortunately, you know, that's just the way...
No, but that's true. But that's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the fact that within everybody's psychic makeup, there is always the ability, tribalism, you know, to say that group doesn't do it up there. And that's who Romney's appealing to. Let me tell you, that is who Romney's appealing to.
You're absolutely right, sir. Can I say this, though?
Of course.
When Obama was elected, I am a minority, and it was a momentous occasion. I brought my children, traveled hundreds of miles to the inauguration, waited from 3 o'clock in the morning on in order to, in the freezing cold, you know, because that day was so momentous and important. However, what I respect about Obama the most, and I also should preface that I am a Cornel West supporter. You know, I follow his writings and his teachings. So I'm not completely sold on Obama. There are some things that I disagree with. However, I've always known that Romney is an elitist. That's nothing different. What troubles me is that since 2008, Obama has always said, "I am not a president for blacks. I am not a president for, you know, president for just the women."
Are you African American?
President of the United States,
Christina.
I'm actually Hispanic and Caucasian.
Okay, good. Okay, just wanted to get straight.
You know, but the fact that he has always said, "I am the president of the United States," and so Romney clearly, by making a statement like that, if he is elected, I pray to God he's not, but if he is, does that mean that he doesn't represent me, that he looks down on me?
Well, he said so. He said so.
Exactly. That's what's so troubling about what he said.
You,
and it's
It's a wonderful call, Christine. Everybody's behind you. I want to give everybody a chance, okay?
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot. Yeah. All right. Now it says, but the next one I think is no good. I think it's gone. See? Okay. Let's go to Brian in Pennsyltown. You see what happened?
Pennsyltown.
Oh, Spencertown. It says Pennsyltown. Pennsyltown, hey. Where everybody writes with lead.
Hey, I have to respond to a caller who called in a few minutes ago saying that Romney couldn't understand anybody who works because he's never worked a day in his life. But I have to respond to that by pointing out FDR and the Kennedys, who are all very wealthy, but were all universally loved, I believe.
Oh, no, they were not universally loved. Don't be ridiculous. I mean, Kennedy is alleged to have stolen his election against Nixon,
as
you know.
Yeah, but when you look at Bobby Kennedy, here's a guy who was very wealthy, but was very positive in terms of civil rights and union rights.
Yeah,
and
later on, after he was a special assistant to Joe McCarthy.
A couple of years of education, you know, you have to be in there to see what's really going on. You know, a lot of Republicans become Democrats after a couple of years of seeing how things really work.
And there are some vice versas. Ronald Reagan won in New York State.
I can't talk about Ronald Reagan.
Go ahead, Brian.
But I remember somebody went up to JFK and asked him if he had never worked a day in his life. And he said, yes, that's true. And the guy said, you really haven't missed anything. And
that's funny. Brian, you make some interesting points. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it.
And say hello to everybody up there in Pennsyltown. Appreciate
it. Okie doke.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Julianne in Delmar. Oh, Julianne in Delmar, you're on.
Yes. Hi, Alan.
Hey.
I just wanted to speak to your premise that you said a few minutes ago with regard to, say, the 50-year-old man making the $60,000 a thing. And I certainly, I have family members who would fall into that category.
Yep.
And have discussions, to put it politely, with them. What I don't understand is why, you know, other than anger, I suppose, or some misconception, what voting for Romney would be, how they benefit from that.
Okay, let me take that on for a second, Julianne. Let me take that on for a second. Demographic information, polling, political science studies have shown again and again and again that often the people in that middle group who you're talking about aspire not to with the people who are coming up behind them, but with the people who are allegedly or in their minds are ahead of them. They think that someday they're going to be where the other guys are.
Exactly.
And that's what this really gets down to. And we see it again and again. Look, these people are not stupid. When they say this kind of stuff, he may have gone too far here. He may have gotten a chump out of his posterior. You know, who knows? But what we do know is that their strategy from the very beginning was to get that group of people by saying you're more like us than you are like them.
Right. Well, it's mind games, and if the truth be told, we're not so sure that Mitt Romney has paid any taxes. So that would put him in that 47%.
Well, let's put it this way. We know he's paid some taxes. We just don't know how much he's paid.
Right.
Julianne, you're terrific. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
All right.
Yeah.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
1-800-348-2551. And now to Arut in Delmar. Is it Arut?
Hello.
Hello. Is your name Arut?
Yes, Arup. Okay. P on the end.
Oh, Arup. Okay, go ahead.
Well, Alan, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
I just want to make the point that I don't know if we're taking this out of context, but I imagine Romney in a closed-door fundraiser with his cronies, 100 people who all have hundreds of millions of dollars to spare, and he's just putting out the vile and the vitriolic stuff just so they can write another comma or another zero on their already large check that they're going to give to him.
Yep.
So this is something that he's sitting around with his rich buddies and just, you know, feeding them what they want to hear so they donate more so he gets more money into his war chest. You know, this isn't his stump speech, not that I'm supporting Romney, but he's not going out there saying, you know, if you're part of the 47%,
but don't you think he's stupid? I mean, in all honesty, every word that comes out of your mouth, you have to assume is going to be on the front page of the New
kidding?
York Times.
In this day and age, to say anything in any session, closed door or not, that you're not going to put on the front page of New York Times or Wall Street Journal, I mean, that's just dumb. That's a dumb move. It's a dumb move by the candidate. a bad move by the strategist who's making, you know, writing the speeches or whatever, because you got to assume that's there for public consumption, that it's going to go to the media, that it's going to go on YouTube, it's going to go viral. And we saw that in 08, that, you know, little slip-ups in every primary went to, you know, on a big national stage. So I think it's a huge strategic error that even in closed-door meetings, you shouldn't be talking like this at all. But again, not to his defense, but he's talking to his rich cronies, and if you imagine him around a kitchen table saying, oh, you know, those four, you know, too bad those four people, they're not going to vote for us, screw them, you know? I can imagine him saying that.
Well, let me put it this way. One of the things that a lot of the pundits, so-called, you know, the inside guys who watch this stuff have been saying is that there's some real dissonance in the campaign among the people who were pushing, you know, the pencils and telling him different things. So to some degree, he becomes a tool of the people around him. Look, we know George Bush did that with Cheney. We know that. Yep. And so what's happening is this guy's sort of floundering as a result of not having his own mind. If there is one thing I think is fairly clear about Obama is he knows his own mind.
A final point is, you know, I saw this great little graphic in Time as far as Time magazine, as far as the fourth debate of the presidential season will be the Mitt Romney soundbites debating themselves to figure out.
Well, they're already doing that. They're already doing that,
so
and that's
like,
what the ads are going to be. Hey,
totally agree.
Arup, we got to go. So thank you for calling. Appreciate it very much. Leaves one free phone. We have Jill and Malcolm and Jonathan and Ted on the line. We have to take a few seconds break. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa in Northampton, Massachusetts, offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals, eastheaven.com for reservations. Adirondack Fiber Festival, announcing their Southern Adirondack Fiber Festival, Washington County Fairgrounds, September 22nd and 23rd. 120 vendors, demos, and food, washingtonnycounty.com. McCabe & Mack, attorneys at law, Poughkeepsie, New York, representing clients throughout the Hudson Valley in matters involving creditors' rights, bankruptcy, and reorganization, mccm.com. And RJ Stables, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned dining establishment since 1960, open for breakfast and lunch until 2, offering homemade breads, cookies, and pastries. Parking available, 413-586-4305.
And we are back. Nancy on Facebook says, I think it just shows yet again how little he knows about the people of the United States and how little he cares about those who have not accumulated as much wealth as he has. I would never have voted for him anyway, but it's disgraceful that someone so lacking in ability, knowledge, and human decency could reach the position that he has. And Adele on Facebook says, just shows that he cannot think on his feet. Rally people want him for president. And Donald on Facebook says, I can't believe we're all about to fall off the fiscal cliff, and this is the main topic. And Walter on Facebook says, the man is a disgrace to his country. I will not speak to what the Utah cult to which he professes membership thinks of him because they're too bizarre to be part of the national dialogue. You know, Walter, I'm not in sympathy with that kind of stuff. I'm just not. Anyway, let's go to Jill in Waterford. Jill in Waterford, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I want a little clarification because I don't want to put words in your mouth.
Yeah.
In a previous caller, you were asking her about the 50-year-olds that make $60,000.
Yep.
Voting for Romney.
Yep.
Okay. I would say, and this is just my opinion.
Sure.
I would say that they're voting against their own best interests as well, because if they're 50 years old, they're subject to, and God forbid if Romney and Ryan should get in. But if Ryan gets his Medicare thing through, that 50-year-old is not
Jill, it isn't, again, I want to emphasize that it isn't whether it's right or wrong or moral or they're voting against their own interest. The question is it working? Now, the fact is, and he has said it is working. He said, that's what my message has always been. He said, perhaps I've been a little artful about it, but he's not lying. And let me tell you right now, just look at the polls. That's what have to look at. Because the polls are saying, well, people are voting against their self-interest. People who should be out on yelling and screaming at every person who fits a certain demographic that's going to take advantage of the wonderful things that the government offers ought to be out there and voting. They're not. You know who's voting? Republicans vote in much greater numbers than Democrats. You get that? You know why?
I've never understood it.
It's the Shartok thesis. Here it is. Ready? The people the people who have the most vote the most in order to use the franchise enough in order to protect what they have. And the people who have the least say, the hell with it. Jill, thank you for your call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Malcolm in Slingerlands. Okay, Malcolm, you're on.
Hi, Alan. How are you?
Well, I'm all right. I'm getting myself all upset here. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I hear you keep bringing up the idea of the polls. Something I learned that's interesting today. I don't know if you know this. I'm wondering if you know what the percentage of polling that takes place basically online at this point. Do you have any idea?
Not a clue.
Okay. Because what I did learn today in a class, it's basically teaching things about, it's basically about, networking and online situations,
right,
is that things called botnets can actually be used to manipulate polls.
No, I have no doubt that that happens. I distrust anything on the Internet, anything. And I certainly distrust any polling that goes on because it's self-selective.
Exactly.
So I think you make a very good point. No, look, people say to me, I've never been polled and nobody ever called me. Blah, 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 blah. But the fact of the matter is that they're almost always right.
Well, there's some truth to that, too. So.
Hey, Malcolm, thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551. Good chance to get on right now, folks. There are two free phones. That's the first time today. Jonathan from, I'll bet it's not, but Noahville? Are you from Noahville, Jonathan?
No, I'm not a know-nothing from Noahville.
Okay. Jonathan, welcome back.
I'm from Norfolk, Connecticut.
Yes, okay.
Two things.
Yeah.
Firstly, 47%.
Yep.
And that basically is referring to the number of people who do not pay income tax.
Right.
Now, they don't pay income tax for three reasons. One, they don't have enough income. Two, they're retired. And three, their income is in different form.
Or four, they're a crook.
Well, they're not crooks.
Yeah, go ahead.
And one of the... and it's an important thing, is that. But the second thing that is important to note, that people who are employed essentially pay a flat tax of approximately 12% through FICA for Social Security.
Right.
So most people who work pay at least 12%, and then income tax is on top of that.
Okay.
So it's another part of, and this I think is what you were referring to, it's another part of the narrative that the Republicans are trying to put out here.
I love that word, narrative. I should say it 10 times. Narrative, narrative, narrative.
No, actually, I'm going to use a different word.
Yeah.
I think it's propaganda. And
well, propaganda and narrative can be the same thing.
And I would remind you of what Joseph Goebbels said about propaganda.
Go ahead and remind me.
Who was, as you may remember...
Oh, I know who he was. Yeah, go
a
ahead.
A political operative for
Hitler
and the Nazi Party.
Yeah.
And he said, propaganda does not have to be correct. You only have to be efficient.
Exactly. And you say it enough times and people will believe it. And believe me, that's a good part of it. But I love the word narrative. I'm going to tell you right now.
I would rather you use the word Goebbels and propaganda.
Oh, well, you're the one who did it. You can't yell at me now.
I'm certainly not going to yell at you. But in fact, this is part of what's going on here.
Yeah, you're right. Jonathan, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's go to... TC. Oh, no, Ted. Ted in New Hartford. Okay, Ted, go ahead.
Hi, Alan. Hey, that 50-year-old...
is that you?
60,000. Not me, but it's most of my friends and most of my coworkers. And disagree with you a little bit.
Okay.
That this is going to help Romney at all, because those people, believe me, are in the bag for Romney. I'd say since Ronald Reagan started screaming about that welfare Cadillac woman... who never really existed, they've been in his bag. my friends have spoken about this 47% for a couple of years now.
But Ted, the problem with that is not that they're with him, but whether they will walk and vote, because there are two ways to vote in this country. One is to pull down the lever. The other is to stay home and go. And
they will walk and vote for him. But what we're looking at now is the pollsters are telling us 6 or 7% of the people who are still undecided.
Sure.
Those people don't fit into that category. So that's why this little thing is going to hurt Romney if it does anything. It's not going to help him whatsoever, because the people he's pushing to make to make believe that everybody is on the dole, which my friends do. My friends think everybody is on the dole and they're the only people who are paying taxes.
Right.
That's a reality to them, no matter how much sense you try and pound in their heads.
What kind of jobs do they do, Ted?
Oh, they're everything. They're firefighters, number one, police officers, union guys, union guys who should be voting Democrat, who were convinced by Ronald Reagan that, no, their best interest is to vote Republican, insanely, and it's kind of sad, but, up and down in retail, making anywhere $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year, and most of my golfing buddies are Republican, and they really think Obama is off the wall.
Well, you must have.
I'm off the wall.
I was going to say, you must have some time out there on the golf course. Ted, we're going to try to get everybody in. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, right. Let's go to Luke in California? Okay, Luke, you're calling from California?
Actually, I'm just passing through.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm hailing from California.
Okay,
yeah, I actually want to offer a contrary opinion.
Good, great.
I'm probably the one call you're going to have today.
No, we've had a couple, but good. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I very much agree with the position that Romney takes, although with a slightly different angle. I think most people hearing that statement probably assume, and he may mean it this way, but they probably assume that he means that people intentionally and consciously have a wish to depend or have an attachment to government programs. But, as a psychologist, I have a different perspective on this. And I think that people do have an increasingly unconscious attachment to government services more and more these days. In fact, I have done quite a bit of disability assessments and assessments for various other purposes in addition to psychotherapy.
Yep.
And I see an entitled mindset proliferating drastically. And I agree with the percentage.
Well, you may be right. How old are you, Luke?
I'm in my mid-30s.
Okay, so you got a way to go first. You got a mother who might be on Medicare?
Well, I have a mother, but she's not on Medicare.
Will she be on Medicare?
Well, she's in age range that'll be safe.
Yeah.
And I have grandparents who are on Medicare at this point.
And you think they're in that 47%?
Well, no. But let me just back up my
opinion. Become used to this, yeah.
Yeah, I think there is an unconscious leaning on government programs, and I think that he's right, and again, he may not mean it this way, but he is right that that base of people who rely more and more on government platforms and positions are less likely to vote for a party who says we want to give you less of this.
Yeah, right.
And so, as much as it can be divisive to use this for political tactics, and as much as I agree with it, I don't think it is divisive, but it's also as divisive and as Machiavellian to try to proliferate positions and structures of government like this for the purpose of
winning an election,
attaching voting bases.
Sure. Hey, Luke, only because, and I gave you a little extra time, only because I just really welcome any opinion that is different from those of others and of mine. Thanks, Luke. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Whoa. Let's go to, let's see here. Did I press off? I hope so. Okay, let's go to Tucker in Troy. All right, Tucker, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan.
Hey.
I'm just wanted to say I'm 19 years old.
Good.
This is the first year I'll be able to vote in an election, and I feel like a lot of young adults don't think it's so important to vote.
You bet. Right.
And I think it's incredibly important, and I'm trying to urge all of my young adult friends to vote and keep Romney out of office.
Why do you think it's so important to vote?
Because I'm scared of what Romney is going to do to our country, and it's not just our country's future, it's our future, too, all the young adults in this world. And I think they need to get out there and get to
the toll booths, the booths, and make sure he stays out of office.
Okay, Tucker, thank you for the call. Appreciate it very much, and good luck, and thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's go to Laura in Northampton. Laura, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey. Go ahead. Oh, it's Lauren. Go ahead, Lauren.
Yeah. Hi. I wanted to talk about your polling, talking about the polling results.
Yeah.
Because I live in Massachusetts, and what I call the Massachusetts bubble, you know, none of this stuff makes sense to me because I'm so used to hearing everyone who agrees with me, who agrees that this sort of thing is terrible.
Well,
what
Scott,
Romney is saying.
Well, Lauren, Scott Brown is your United States Senator.
I didn't vote for him.
Well, somebody sure as hell did.
Well, yeah, but I don't know. I feel like the people who are calling in, with the exception of the person, two people before me, are not the people that statement was made for. You know, we weren't going to vote for him anyway.
I agree with you.
I wasn't going to vote for him.
I agree with you.
Nothing that he could say would ever make me vote for him.
And by the way, that's just what he said.
Right.
He said, you're in that 47%. He's talking to the rich guys all around there with their bellies sticking out.
And people who aren't going to give him money because they agree with what he's saying.
Sure.
I would never be that person.
You know, I always told my students that imagine life is a Monopoly game, you know? And what happens at the end of the game when your brother has won everything and you land on him and he says, here, I'll lend you another $1,000 so you can land on me again. They get it all.
I'm also a young adult. This is my second presidential election.
Okay.
And there is a growing group of us who agree who believe that voting is something that shouldn't be done because it's not going to change anything.
But that, you don't fit in that group.
I'm not that person, but it's something that I've heard quite a lot.
Just tell them it's un-American when they tell you that.
Our voting system is un-American. Okay.
Lauren, thanks for calling. And let me tell you, anybody who says that, gets what they deserve. And that's all I can say about that. And say, right. Alan said, you get what you deserve. Thank you very much, Lauren. Appreciate it a lot. Yeah.
Bye.
Okay. Let's go to Tom in Round Top. Tom.
Yes. I have some news for you, Alan, that should make you very happy.
Yeah.
For months now, what the right-wing pundits, I personally believe they're fascists, but that's my own opinion. The right-wing pundits have been working overtime frantically doing damage control for Romney and Santorum's out now, but they used to have to do damage control.
Not today. Today they're after him.
Yeah, I know. Oh, even the
you
bet. Listen.
You bet.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Alan, I assume that you don't listen to those guys for some reason.
Well, I watch that other guy, that stinker in the morning on, the morning show, Joe in the morning, whatever you call that thing.
Stinker in the morning is good enough. I don't watch television. in any case, this is the question I put out.
Yeah.
Okay. Is Romney really all that smart? Perhaps he's absolutely laser brilliant when it comes to business and making money, but he keeps destroying himself with his own mouth.
Okay, guess what, Tom, I'm going to let you go because I want to get everybody else. But I have to say that is the question of the day. It really is. You put your finger right on it. Let's go to Bill in Gilderland. Bill, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Hey.
I'm not surprised, but I think we need to find out who Romney really would be if he were to become president. And I think he's singing from the same songbook that Limbaugh, Beck, and Hannity were singing back early this spring. I've heard people tell me kind of the same statistic, and there might be a kernel of truth of it, but it just seems coincidental.
Well, he wasn't that way, Bill, when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Right,
he was in a blue state, and so therefore he got his energy from what was around him. I suspect it might be different in a national scale.
Well, he seems certainly to have engaged the neocons and the Tea Party people and influenced it. He does have a bad record in that he says corporations are people. He takes $77,000 tax deductions for dance lessons. He was bullying his schoolmates when he was younger. He considers his tithing, to be the equivalent to paying taxes. But I think it's one of the things we don't know much about him, and it should be really talked about, is the neocons that are influencing him on his foreign policy.
Well,
because not only would it be a disaster domestically, he's got John Bolton on his short list for Secretary of State and a bunch of Cheney's people that are his advisors.
Could be right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I have to say this to you all. I'm terribly sorry, Mike in Albany and Hunter in Pittsfield and Dottie in Clifton Park. All I can tell you is that I wish we had more time. We do not. Anita on Facebook says, as a former social worker and now on disability, there, those who are victims of the system usually don't vote. However, there are many people who receive service and many temporarily depend on the system that do pay taxes. His idea of middle class are those making $200,000 or more. Middle class starts at $50,000. He's out of touch completely. Andy on Facebook says, I want a leader who realizes when everyone in our society is treated equally, we are truly free. D on Facebook says, I assume that 47% would include those corporation people that received stimulus monies so they could create jobs. He just appears to say whatever his handlers want to hear at any given moment. Marianne on Facebook says, I believe the statement will end up getting him support from the very folks he is disparaging. That makes me very sad. And Diane on Facebook says, I think he will receive votes from many of the middle class workers who are undecided. I think it was a brilliant move on his part, unfortunately. And that is it, ladies and gentlemen. And so all I can say is we're out of time. Support for the Box Pop comes from Faddington's Nursery, Latham, New York, hosting a beer and wine tasting event with Albany Pump Station and Harmony House Marketplace on Saturday, September 22nd, patagons.com, and Sherry Voss Saloon and Salon and Spa, Woodstock, specializing in Swedish deep tissue, aromatherapy, prenatal, and reflexology message, SherryVossSalon.com, and New York State Tobacco Free Community Partners, working to reduce youth and adult smoking rates across the state and help save lives. New York State Tobacco Free Community Partners at smokefreecapital.org and 62 Center for Theaters and Dance presenting Lebanese artist Maya Zubib, exploring women and the ties that bind them in the Music Box, September 22nd, 62center.williams.edu. Thanks again for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversations continue on Vox Pop and Vox Pop on Twitter and Facebook.com/WMC Radio. Our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered by Bruce Herbach. No, it wasn't, by Leia. Our producer is Patrick Dondras. I'm Alan Chartok. Tomorrow on Vox Pop, the copyright forum. Stay tuned now for a news update.